Simon Reish Nun Gimel, section 253, Din Kira Visanor Litain Alea Hakadeides, Bed of Shabbos. The law is governing the placement of pots on a cooking range and on top of an oven on Friday. The first thing that the Rebbe does is describe what is a Kira. Alach Aleph. Kira, she has to ekein kadeida, gadeila, masikin aisa besecha, ushula, beshev, sinal pia gadeida lamaila, viaruka uktsara. The term Kira, which means a cooking range, refers to an object made in the shape of a large pot into which on its floor kindling fuel is placed. Now, in the previous section that we learned, Alter Rebbe established the principle that if one begins an activity on Friday and that activity won't be completed on Shabbos without human intervention, there's no prohibition involved. As such, seemingly there'd be no problem in putting food on a cooking service on Friday and letting it cook on Shabbos. Here in this section, Alter Rebbe explains that rabbinic prohibitions were enacted out of concern that perhaps the person might stir the coals of the fire so that his food would cook faster. This is prohibited because, as explained in section 257, were a person to cause the glowing coals to flare, he would be liable for performing the forbidden labor of mavir, causing a fire to burn. Now, the first part of this section, Til Halacha Yudala, deals with the laws applying to placing food on a cooking service on Friday. Later, it deals with the laws concerning instances where food was left on a cooking service before Shabbos, and a person desires to remove it and then return it to the cooking service or to another source of heat on Shabbos. And contemporary authorities have applied many of the laws of Akira to electric or gas cooking ranges. This section, again, is dealing with the laws governing the placement of pots on a cooking range and on top of an oven on Friday. So in the beginning of the Halacha, the Alter Rebbe explained that the term Kira, which we translate as cooking range, refers to an object that is made in the shape of a large pot into which on its floor kindling fuel is placed. Pots are placed on its opening above. It's long and narrow in width with space for two pots above. So if the range is being heated with olive wastes or with wood, now we say olive wastes, that is talking about the remnants that remain after olives were crushed for their oil. So if it was heated with olive waste or with wood, it is forbidden to place an insufficiently cooked dish. In other words, a dish that by nightfall on Friday has not cooked sufficiently to reach the stage of machal ben droisi upon the range while it is still day on Friday, with the intent that it remains on the range for the sake of the meal on Friday night or until the meal of the next day. Now, the Nimukei Shabbos quotes Magen Avram, which maintains that even if the person was wont to accept Shabbos early, in other words, that person normally takes in Shabbos early, as long as the food will reach the stage of Machal Ben Dreisi before nightfall, there is no difficulty in leaving the food on the range. Now, in section 254, it explains why the prohibition applies even though the food would be fully cooked by the next day, even if he did not stir the coals. Okay, now, what does machal ben dreisi mean? So the Alter Rebbe explains in the parentheses, the term machal ben dreisi means the food of ben dreisi. Now, who is ben dreisi? Drusai. So this was the name of a known robber who would eat his food even though it was not thoroughly cooked. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, he describes a ben soded umoida, which is a wayward and rebellious son, as he says there, that he must eat meat that is raw, but not entirely raw, cooked but not entirely cooked, as is the practice of thieves. Okay, so this person, Ben Drusai, was a robber who ate his food even though it wasn't completely cooked. Now, what is the reason for this prohibition? That the sages were concerned that a person might stir and turn over the glowing coals with a fire tool on Shabbos to hasten the completion of the cooking of his food. Now, when we are talking about the glowing coals, that is referring to the embers that remain from the fuel used to heat the oven or range after they have already caught fire and burned for some time. and we are afraid that he will forget it's Shabbos, or he'll forget that it's forbidden to stir the glowing coals. We're not afraid that he will stir the coals in intentional violation of the Shabbos prohibitions. Rather, like we said, we're concerned that he'll forget his Shabbos, or the inala to stir the coals. Okay. Now, leniency is granted, and this applies even when the food has not yet reached the stage of Macham and Drusai, when the range is what's called Grufa. In other words, one swept out all of the glowing coals. Now, then you might say, so why is this range even useful? The answer is because it still maintains the heat of the food because of the heat that remains inside of it. Okay, so if it's grufa, so that means all the glowing coals are swept out, or alternatively, ketuma, which means he covered the glowing coals with ashes to reduce their heat. So in these cases, one can be lenient. Now, presently in our times, covering a cooking range with a sheet of metal, that's known as a blech, fulfills the same function as covering the coals of a kira. And some authorities say that the knobs controlling the fire or heat should be covered as well. The following laws apply when an oven is made like a large pot that is wide at the bottom and narrow at the top, so that as a result, the heat inside of it is more concentrated than that of a range, as we were learning about a kira. Here, the heat is more concentrated. So therefore, it is forbidden to even place a pot next to it if the area is so hot that a hand would recoil from touching it. That is called Yad Seledespoy. Now the Shulchan Aruch of Rav Yosef Cairo in Eder Chaim 2:18 explains that this temperature is actually so hot that the stomach of a baby would be burnt. There are many opinions regarding what this temperature is, ranging from 40 degrees Celsius, which is 104 Fahrenheit, to 45 degrees Celsius, which is 113 Fahrenheit. Now, it's important to emphasize that the intent here is not that the food will become so hot that it reaches that temperature, but rather that the place where the pot is put down is that hot. And in the Kuntres Achim, the Alter Rebbe distinguishes between prohibitions enacted out of concern that food will be cooked on Shabbos, and those, as we are mentioning here, that are enacted out of concern that perhaps the person will stir the glowing coals of the oven. Continuing the halacha, this restriction applies that you cannot place a pot next to it if the area is yatsi ledis by. So this applies even if the glowing coals were removed or covered and or straw or stubble were used as kindling fuel. Now, as is evident from the wording of the Shulchan Aruch of Rav Yosef Cairo, even if two factors that lead to leniency are present, one, the oven was heated with straw or stubble, and B, the kindling fuel was removed or covered, it's still forbidden to leave food on top of it, or even next to it, to keep warm. Okay. Since the air within it is very hot, the person will not divert his attention from it because he's going to be worried that the food that he left inside will cook inside. And there is concern that Shema Yachta Bzeisha Mu'utafa Bishahi Esh Kashakvav Muchusa Befer. Maybe he will stir this small fire, even though it is from straw or stubble, and it is covered with ash. Halacha hey 5 Lam Asut Bitsanar God of why did the sages forbid leaving food on an oven from which the glowing coals were removed? Now, the possibility of stirring coals that were covered was already explained in the previous halacha. The question is with regard to an oven from which the coals were removed. The Alter Rebbe explains, because one can only remove the majority and the more intense sources of fire. It is, however, impossible to remove all the sources of fire so that not even one spark remains. Since the air within the oven is extremely hot, there is reason for concern that a person will stir the glowing coals to cause the remaining sparks to flare. Now, the Nemuke Shabbos emphasizes that the oven's extreme heat explains why we are concerned that the person may stir the fire. It does not, however, serve as a reason why it cannot remove the fire entirely from the oven. Okay, continuing the halacha, v'niskarid havloi, achein yad seledesham, mutalashesham b'seichet. If the oven's temperature has cooled to the extent that a hand would no longer recoil from touching it, it is permitted to leave food within it before Shabbos. That's in order to preserve its heat. However, the pot cannot rest on the coals themselves. Okay. Certainly, it is permitted to leave food on top of it or outside of it next to it if a hand would not recoil from touching the place where it is placed. Indeed, even on Shabbos itself, it is permitted to place food there. In the parentheses, Alter Rebbe concludes the halacha on Shabbos, it is forbidden to place even food that was entirely cooked within the oven itself or within a kira, that's a cooking range itself, by contrast, even if the glowing coals of the kira were removed or covered and a hand would not recoil from the heat, as will be explained later in halacha Chaf Aleph. Again, the sixth halacha. We talked so far about a kira. We talked about a tanur that is like a kira gedoyla, an oven which is made like a large pot, wide at the bottom and narrow at the top. And today we're going to talk about a kufach. Halacha vav, kufach shu asi kechido, ela she'en bay lamayla rak mekeim shvisas kedeira achas. A kufach is a cooking implement that is made in a manner similar to a kira. In other words, in contrast to an oven which is narrow on top but wide on the bottom, a kufach is of uniform width. Hence, its inner space is not as hot as an oven. So, it's similar to a kira, except that its top only has space for one pot. As a result, its heat is greater than that of a kira, but less than that of an oven. So, if it was kindled with kash, a big vava, with straw or stubble, it is governed by the laws applying to a kira heated with straw or stubble. If it was kindled with olive waste or wood, all of the laws applying to an oven apply to it. Halacha Zayin 7. Vatanurim shalanu the shapitzchom min hatzad ein havlam merubel cham kokach kevel atanu shibimem v'lei kevel akupa choyel v'him chavim yeser mishvisas gedere achas lufikach haredinam shave lechira lechol davar. The air inside our ovens, and here the Alter Rebbe is talking about ovens that resembles ovens used to bake matzah and the like, which have a clearly identifiable heat source that can be covered. And our stovetops also meet this criteria. And regarding today's ovens, in which the source of heat is frequently in or behind the walls, and therefore the entire oven cavity is equally hot, there's extensive discussion as to whether it's possible to, so to speak, cover the heat. Moreover, there's an additional issue due to the thermostat which controls the oven's temperature. Opening the oven door can trigger the thermostat and cause the oven's heat output to increase. So many halachic authorities require that the oven be turned off entirely or have a special Shabbos setting that keeps the heating element at a uniform heat regardless of the fluctuations in temperature within the oven. There are some authorities who are stringent, they're machmir, and they forbid leaving food in an oven on Friday to preserve its heat, even under such conditions. With regard to actual practice, a rav should be consulted. Okay, so Alter Rebbe says the air inside our ovens that open on this side is not as hot as the air that was inside the ovens of the Talmudic era, nor are they as hot as a kufach, since they are wider than the space necessary to place upon them one pot. Therefore, they are governed by the laws applying to a kira with regard to all matters. Halacha ches eight holes that kishikvar his chilais bashal mi boydein. Elashad adain loin his pashkam acha ben drusoi. Aval imu chai legamini mutter litne afilu besechatan shutzek begefes veitzim eini gorov vekotum in choshim shami yachta beshabes kim shachabu chai masiach taitim an adamacher shabalai lo liyaroi adain afim yachta bekholim cholai adamacher yuchel his pashaf belay chitu klal. All of the above applies when the food already begins cooking while it is still day, but has not yet reached the stage of machal ben drusoi. We also should point out that the Alter Rebbe is referring to meat, as he says at the end of this halacha, and especially meat stew, chulent, or even a pot roast. There are different laws applying to meat or fowl that is roasted over the fire itself, not on a pot, not in a pot, I should say, because it could cook in time for the evening meal if one would stir the fire. This is particularly true with regard to modern ovens where meat or chicken can be thoroughly broiled or roasted in a short time. Indeed, some modern-day ovens and ranges can even thoroughly cook or roast stews, pot roasts, and the like in time for the evening meal, even if they are in a pot or roasting pan. Hence, there are those who rule stringently with regard to leaving raw meat in our ovens and ranges. Okay. So, this all applies when the food already began cooking, but it didn't reach Macha ben Drisai before Shabbos. If, however, the food is entirely raw, one is permitted to place the food even in an oven which was heated with olive waste or wood from which the glowing coals have neither been removed nor covered. There's no suspicion that he will stir the coals on Shabbos, since it's raw at the time when Shabbos begins. Hence, he removes his attention from it until the next day, because at night it will not be fit for consumption, even if one stirs the coals. And if it remains there throughout the night until the following day, it will be thoroughly cooked on its own accord, without the necessity of the coals being stirred at all. In the middle of the eighth halacha, we learned that when food is completely raw, so then a person can put it even into an oven which was heated with olive waste or wood, from which the glowing coals have neither been removed nor covered. We're not worried that the person will stir the coals on Shabbos, because it is raw when Shabbos begins. And therefore the person is masiach daitoy mimenu. He removes his attention from it until the next day, because at night it won't be fit for consumption, even if one stirs the coals. And if it stays there the whole night until the next day, it will cook on its own without the need to stir the coals at all. Based on this, a person would be allowed to put raw meat into a crock pot. In other words, when a person's making chulent, that will slowly cook the whole night and only be ready for the next day. We did mention yesterday that when we are talking about an oven, some of the ovens today can cook stews, pot roasts, very quickly, that would even be ready in time for the Friday night meal. And therefore, there are some who are strict and stringent with regard to leaving meat in raw meat in our ovens today. But if it's a slow cooker, and there's no question that it won't be ready until the next day, so then it would be allowed. Okay. Now, to explain, let's say the food is going to be ready to eat even in the middle of the night. So, what's the halacha? Since most people will have already finished eating their Friday night meals by then, a person is allowed to leave such food in the oven or on a range if the food is only going to be ready in the middle of the night. We must emphasize that in present times, when ovens and cooking ranges are able to generate consistently high temperatures for extensive periods of time, there are authorities who question this leniency, because it's possible that even raw meat placed in a pot on top of a range could be ready to eat in a few hours. So if it was placed on a range before sunset, it could well be ready to eat in time for the evening meal. Okay. Continuing the halacha, mikol makim tzarech sheyitnenu sham samach lachashecha mamish. Here the Alter Rebbe cautions the following. Still, even though a person could place raw meat into the oven before Shabbos, it has to be put into the oven very close to nightfall. And the rabbis question, what does that mean, very close to nightfall? By and large, the consensus is that it means that the pot will not have time to actually begin the cooking process before sunset. Why? Because why does he have to wait until very close to nightfall? If he's going to place the food in the oven while it is still day, it would have already been somewhat cooked before the onset of Shabbos, and it must be removed before nightfall, unless, as we have learned, it already reached the stage of Machal ben Drusai before the onset of Shabbos. And the Alter Rebbe says very clearly that not only is it forbidden to place a partially cooked food that does not meet the necessary criteria in the range or in the oven before Shabbos, but there's also an obligation to remove such food from these cooking surfaces. And the time limit also applies when a person accepts Shabbos early. So for example, let's say sunset is at 7 p.m. and a person accepts Shabbos at 6 p.m. He's not allowed to place a pot on the fire a few minutes before 6, because by 7 o'clock, it'll be somewhat cooked. And there's reason for concern that a person will stir the fire so that the food will be acceptable for the evening meal. Needless to say, once a person accepts Shabbos, he may not place food on the cooking surface even though nightfall is later. Now, according to our custom, that women light candles and accept Shabbos sometime before sundown, it's difficult to determine whether or not the meat has already begun to cook before sundown, and therefore must be removed. And there's another reason why some contemporary authorities question the application of this leniency in light of our customs. Okay, and again, when we are dealing with crock pots and slow cookers that we can purchase today, which even at their highest temperature cannot possibly cook raw meat in time for the evening meal when it was put up directly before the onset of Shabbos. So this provides us with a contemporary application of this law. These devices are intended to cook food over an extended period of time. Hence, if one places the raw meat for a cooked dish, like for chalent, in such a device directly before Shabbos, it's permitted to partake of that food on. Yesterday, we explained that the permission to place raw food in an oven before Shabbos applies only when the food is placed in the oven, samach lachashecha mamish, very close to nightfall, which we explained to mean that the pot will not have time to actually begin the cooking process before sunset. Why does that the raw food have to be placed in the oven very close to nightfall and not earlier? Because if he places it earlier in the oven, so then it will cook somewhat before the beginning of Shabbos, and then it would have to be removed before nightfall because it can't be left in the oven, as we have learned, if it was partially cooked, unless it has already reached the stage of Machal ben Drusai before the beginning of Shabbos. Only then, in other words, only if it reaches that stage of being cooked, of Machal ben Drusai, only then is there no concern about stirring the coals, because the food is able to fully cook for the night meal, even without stirring the coals. Why? Since it was already half-cooked, kvar chatzi vishula, while it was still day. Now, later, we're going to learn in Halacha Yud Gimel about a more lenient definition of Machal ben Drusai, and possibly only the more stringent opinions mentioned here, because, as he says later in Halacha Yud Gimel, lechatchila, as an initial preface, the more stringent opinion should be followed, and here he is speaking before any action has been taken. Okay, so, once the food reaches that stage, which, as we just mentioned, according to the stricter opinions, half-cooked while it was still day, therefore, there's no concern that a person will stir the coals. Moreover, it's already fit to be eaten with difficulty due to the extent that it was cooked while it was still day, in other words, before Shabbos. Now, the Alter Rebbe says something very, very interesting, that you don't necessarily have to put all the food raw in the oven right before Shabbos, even if one places chasicha achas, one single raw piece of meat in a pot that already began to cook. It's permitted to leave the pot in an oven on Friday as if its entire contents were raw. And here's the reason. Because since he's masiach daitoi, he diverts his attention from the entire pot until the following day because of that raw piece of meat. So practically, give it a practical example. A person began cooking the chalent, and then the person noticed it just started cooking, but it didn't reach yet the stage of Machal ben Drusai. It didn't cook enough. And it's almost Shabbos, so what should the person do? So here the Alter Rebbe gives an Eitzah. He says, take one raw piece of meat and put it into that pot. And now the person's not going to think about the food until tomorrow. We're not worried he's going to stir the pot because of that one raw piece of meat. Now it's considered like the whole pot is raw. However, the Alter Rebbe now qualifies. When we say a raw piece of food, Alter Rebbe says that's talking exclusively about meat, since it cannot possibly be cooked enough in this limited amount of time and be ready for the night meal, because meat takes a longer time to cook. In contrast, it is forbidden to leave a pot in an oven or on a range, even if one puts in a raw vegetable and the like, unless its contents have already reached the stage of Machal ben Drusai while it was still day. Because even though it's now raw, it can cook sufficiently in the short amount of time to be edible at night. As such, the person will not divert his attention from it until the following day. So a person can't say, okay, I'll put a raw potato in the oven, and that'll make it like the whole pot is now raw. That will not help. It has to be a raw piece of meat, because meat takes a longer time to cook. A vegetable can cook quicker. Now, the Badei HaShulchan says that there are some beans that require extensive cooking, and therefore they are considered to be in the same category as meat. However, in section 254, it says clearly that beans are not placed in the same category as raw meat. On the other hand, if the vegetables take a short time to cook, so then it's possible that they will have, that they'll reach the stage of Machmir Desai before the beginning of Shabbos, which then that of course is okay. Okay, this concludes Halacha Ches. Yesh Oimrim, this Halacha test begins. There are other authorities who maintain Shafilu Tavshel Shnispashel Gemachem Ben Drusoi. I have filled in the special called Tzarkei Elishu Mitztamik V'Yafeloi. Then Shafeloi Ladam Misamach Mashen Tavshel Mitztamik Choshen Shami Yachta B'Shabbos Amar B'Shulit. There are other authorities who say that even if a cooked dish reaches the state of Machmir Desai, and moreover, even if it was entirely cooked, but will benefit from further cooking, which is the literal meaning of mitztamik v'yafale, is that it's desirable for him that it contracts, that it dries out in the cooking process. When, by contrast, further cooking will be detrimental to a cooked dish, that's mitztamik v'raloi, all authorities agree that it may be left on the fire. So, even if it was completely cooked, but will benefit from further cooking, meaning a person will consider it desirable and be happy that the dish cooked further, we are concerned that he might stir the coals on Shabbos to hasten its cooking so that it will cook further. Therefore, it's governed by the same laws that apply to a cooked dish that has begun to cook, but has not reached the stage of Machmir Desai, as explained above. It has already become widespread custom to rule leniently and follow the first opinion. Okay, this concludes Halacha Tes and learning the 10th Halacha. The Alter Rebbe is now going to qualify that which we have learned in the previous two halachas about placing raw food in an oven before Shabbos. Halacha Yud. B'chol zeh, k'she'ein hakdeira negas b'gecholim. K'goin she'yishevas al gabi kisei shel barzel oy al gabi avonim b'seich hakira oy atan. All the above, in other words, that which we have learned in halachas Ches and Tes 8 and 9, about leaving the raw food in the oven before Shabbos, that applies when the pot does not touch the coals. So for example, it is resting on an iron tripod or on stones within the range or the oven. Now just to point out, the halachas here apply to an oven or a range that is heated with glowing coals from other fuels. They do not apply to contemporary ovens or ranges heated by gas or electricity. Since there are no coals in such ranges and ovens, there is room for leniency. Okay, so Alter Rebbe says this applies when the oven does not touch the coals. Like, for example, again, it's on an iron tripod or on stones inside the oven or range. If, however, the pot is resting on the glowing coals themselves, even if they are partially extinguished or covered, it's forbidden to leave the pot there in all cases, even if the person feels that further cooking will be detrimental to the food, and he is saddened that the food will cook further, or even if the food is entirely raw. The reason is that placing a pot on the glowing coals is deemed as hatmana, hiding. The term toimen, which was the root of the term hatmana, literally means to hide. Now, by and large, hatmana refers to insulating food, so it's like hiding it in other substances in order to keep it warm for the Friday night Shabbos meal. So by extension, the term is also used to refer to placing food on sources of heat, as we are mentioning here. So the glowing coals, putting the pot on the glowing coals, that's called hatmana, hiding. In other words, you're hiding a portion of the pot on top of the coals. The coals increase the heat of the pot, and it is forbidden to, so to speak, hide a pot on a substance that increases its heat, even if further cooking will be detrimental to the food, filum stomach verale, or even if the food is still entirely raw, as will be explained in section 257. And there it gives the rationale. There are authorities who differ with the above, and they maintain that it is only forbidden to be matmin, to hide a pot on a substance that increases its heat, when one covers it with a substance that can be moved, and that envelops the entire pot to the extent that the pot is entirely covered by that substance. Even if the substance that was covering the pot does not increase the pot's heat, but the pot was resting on a substance that increases the pot's heat, doing so is forbidden, as if the article was entirely covered by a substance that increases its heat. In this case, however, even though the walls of the range or the oven surround the walls of the pot, and moreover, even if the openings to the top of the range or the oven are closed, nevertheless, since there are no movable substances touching the sides of the pot, that's not considered atmana, for the reason to be explained in Siman Reish Nun Zayin, section 257. And as explained there, the fundamental basis for this position is that the prohibition of atmana is a decree lest one insulate food in remetz. Remetz is a mixture of coal and ash. Therefore, this prohibition applies when a pot is surrounded by a substance that resembles such a mixture. In other words, a substance that can be moved and is touching the sides of the pot. The Alter Rebbe says there is no prohibition involved in the pot standing on a substance that increases its temperature. And this is the prevailing custom. Even if there are burning coals surrounding and touching the walls of the pot, that's not considered atmana, because the pot is open from above. In such a case, however, a Jew is forbidden to remove the pot from such a setting on Shabbos, since by removing the pot, he will inevitably also move the upper coals. They're going to fall on the lower coals and extinguish them. Moreover, as a matter of course, the upper coals will burn more powerfully when stirred in this manner. Even though the person does not intend to stir them, it is an absolutely inevitable consequence of his actions, for it is impossible to remove the pot without stirring at least some of the coals. 12th halacha. Kol makim shenisparash asir lehashis, tafsha shalei nisparash kemacha ben drusai. However, v'shia afilu b'shegeg sheshchacha sham aishaya savar shumuter, asir bein loy bein lachedim ad sheyam tinu b'maitzai Shabbos b'chtei sheyei asu. In all situations where it was stated that it is forbidden to leave a cooked dish that has not reached the stage of Macha ben Rusoi on a cooking surface, if one transgressed and left it there, even if he did so unwittingly. In other words, the person forgot to cook the dish there, or he thought it was permitted to leave it there. So then both he and others are forbidden to partake of the dish until he waits the amount of time needed to cook it after the departure of Shabbos. Just to explain, generally, violating a rabbinic prohibition of the Shabbos laws unwittingly, b'shoigig, does not make the use of the object on Shabbos prohibited after the fact. Nevertheless, here, we are machmir, stringency is required, and here's the reason. Lest one purposely leave uncooked food on a range on Friday, and then excuse himself by saying that he merely forgot it there. Okay. And we should point out, though, there is a leniency mentioned in 254 with regard to one who has no other food for Shabbos. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe ended the halacha by saying that him and others cannot partake of the food until he waits the amount of time that is needed to cook it after Shabbos. So Alter Rebbe writes in section 318 that this extra time is required lest one violates what he thinks is a minor transgression, so that the food is ready immediately on Saturday night on Mitzvah Shabbos. Halacha Yud Gimel. Now we're going to discuss what is this stage of cooking called Macha Ben Drusai. Halacha Yud Gimel. Shior Macha Ben Drusai. Yeshem Shuk May Shlish Bishul Aray L'Chol Adam. Yeshem Shuk May Chati Bishulay. There is a difference of opinion among the rabbis regarding the stage cooked food must reach for it to be considered as Macha Ben Drusai. Some authorities maintain that it must be cooked to approximately one-third of what it needs for it to be considered fully cooked by most people. And others maintain that it must be cooked to half of what it requires. L'inyin halacha, af shebedivrei soifrim, halech achar mekum makomakum mishumchem shabbos, tzarech lezor lechatchila sheizpashel chatzi vishulim mibayidayim. M'ein shom echad midarchi hater. With regard to actual practice, even though, generally, the more lenient opinion should be followed in questions of rabbinic law, and the prohibition against partaking of food left to cook on Shabbos is merely a rabbinic decree. Nevertheless, because of the severity of the observance of Shabbos, lechatchila, as an initial preference, one should be careful that the food that is left on the range already should be half-cooked while it is still day and Friday if there is no other leniency available, like we learned earlier, like, for example, putting a piece of raw meat in the pot right before Shabbos. B'di'evet, after the fact, however, it's permitted to partake of the cooked dish under any circumstances if, while it was still day, it was cooked to one-third of the extent it would ordinarily be cooked. And the Alter Rebbe explains in Kunshas Achrin that since the prohibition is merely an extra stringency adopted because of the severity of Shabbos, of the observance of Shabbos, b'di'evet, after the fact, one may rely on the more lenient views. Now, among the arguments he offers in support of this position are A. majority of the Rishonim support the more lenient position. B. The Magen Avraham rules that when there is a difference of opinion among the rabbis, even when the more stringent opinion is accepted as halacha, after the fact one can rely on the more lenient view. Certainly that applies in this case, where the more lenient view has widespread support. And finally, C. The Shulchan Aruch of Rav Yosef Cairo accepts the more lenient view in the Yedidea 113 and rules more stringently here only because of the severity of the observance of Shabbos. Okay, another note on this. The halachic authorities mention two ways of determining the third and half measures mentioned here. One possibility is to measure by time. For example, if the food would normally take 120 minutes to cook, so then macham in the Rishonim would be 60 or 40 minutes. Now, it should be noted that according to this opinion, the time period begins once the food begins cooking, not when it's first placed on the fire. Okay. Others maintain that these are not measures of time, but of taste. In many cases, the actual cooking process of food is slower when it is first put on the fire and then proceeds at a faster pace. Now, according to the principle mentioned here by the Alter Rebbe, it would seem that one should be strict according to both opinions. In other words, even if half the time has passed, if it's not yet half-cooked, one should not consider it half-cooked until it actually tastes like it's half-cooked. Conversely, even if it tastes half-cooked, if half of the cooking time has not passed, one should wait until it has. 15th halacha. Here the Alter Rebbe is going to put a limit on the allowance to return food that is cooked on Shabbos, even when the conditions that are needed are met. Okay, so here it is. When an oven was kindled, even with straw and stubble, and even when its coals were removed or covered, and food was left to heat on it, according to one of the permitted ways described above, we learned in the first few halachas of this section, it's forbidden to return a pot to it on Shabbos. And as explained in Halachas Dalet and Hey, the heat of an oven is far greater than that of a range, and that's why the sages were more stringent. So in the case of the range, if all the conditions are met, the food can be returned, but to the top of the range. But with an oven, it's much more strict. Okay, and this restriction applies even when the pot was held in his hand and he had the intent to return it, and even if further cooking will be detrimental to it, mitzdamek v'raloi. And this law also applies to a kupach. A kupach, we learned in Halacha Vav, is a cooking implement made like similar to a kira. The difference is that its top only has space for one pot, so therefore the heat is much greater than that of a kira, but it's less than that of an oven. Okay. So this halacha also applies to a kufach that was heated with olive waste or with wood. That even if the conditions are met, still the food cannot be returned. The reason is like this, that the laws pertaining to these cooking appliances are the same as those that apply to a range that was heated with olive waste or with wood that whose coals were not removed or covered, in which case it's forbidden to return a pot to it on Shabbos in all cases. And as we learned, it's a decree lest one come to stir the glowing coals. True, the sages were not concerned with the possibility that one would stir coals when further cooking is detrimental to the cooked food with regard to the leniency of leaving food in the oven on Friday afternoon. Nevertheless, they were more strict and stringent with regard to returning food to an oven on Shabbos itself. Okay. Halacha Tezayin 16. Chol ze kishmach sangdir al gabi piakiru milmaila. All the leniencies I mentioned above apply when one returns the pot to the opening of the range from above, and the walls of the pot project slightly above the walls of the range. We're going to see in a moment how this applies today. It is, however, forbidden to return it to the inner space of range or to the inner space of our ovens in all cases, even if the oven or the range was heated with straw or stubble, or the coals were removed or covered, the pot was still in the person's hand, and he had initially intended to return it. Okay. So this halacha here has contemporary application regarding a crock pot, which consists of an inner pot for the food, which is placed inside an outer vessel containing the heating elements in its walls. So there's a number of issues. We're going to list three. Number one, if the walls of the inner pot are completely within the outer vessel, it's like returning food to an oven, and therefore it's prohibited. Number two, if one places an object inside the outer vessel to elevate the inner pot so that part of its walls are above the walls of the outer vessel, one must take into account whether the crock pot has more than one temperature setting. If it has multiple settings, one must cover the inside walls of the outer vessel with aluminum foil or the like to separate it from the inner pot. And number three, in that case, the foil should not be so thick that it becomes attached to the inner pot, because that would create a prohibition of hatmono. Okay. Now, according to the wording of the Alter Rebbe, who says, now let it return it to the inner space of a range, it seems that it is forbidden to return a pot to a rack positioned in the middle of the inner space of a range, in contrast to certain authorities who maintain that the prohibition applies only when the pot is placed on the bottom of the range. Okay, and we said that you're not allowed to return it to the inner space of our oven, says the Alter Rebbe, Hatanurim Shalanu. Similarly, it's forbidden to return food to present-day ovens, even if they have a special Shabbos setting, and opening the door to the oven will not cause the oven to reach a higher temperature. Okay, and when you talk about the inner space of a range, in Halacha Chaf Aleph, it says that even if the cooked pot will not become so hot, so it's caused a hand to recoil, it's still forbidden to place it inside an oven or a range. Although we will see in Halacha Yutes, there are some leniencies. And finally, when the Alter Rebbe says that even though the pot was still in the person's hand and he initially intended to return it, it appears that the reason we were being strict is that it looks like one is cooking, which, as we explained, is not allowed on Shabbos, even if the food was actually cooked, but we're not allowed to do something that resembles a forbidden activity. The 19th halacha. Yesterday we brought that people are makel, people are lenient, and allow food to be returned even to the inner space of our ovens. And even if the pot was removed from their hand, they put it on the ground, it stayed there for a long time, and even when they didn't have the initial intent to return it, and even when one transferred the food into another pot. And Alter Rebbe says that people who behave in this manner should not be admonished, because there are opinions that say that the sages did not require that one should have the intent to return the pot and that to remain his hand in the whole time, except when he took it off from the range on Friday and then he wanted to put it back on Shabbos. Then when he puts it there on Shabbos, it looks like he's cooking on Shabbos. But if it was on the range when Shabbos began and then he removed it, so then if he puts it back on the range on Shabbos, it doesn't look like he's initially placing it there on Shabbos. And this applies even if he did not have the intent of returning it. He released it from hand, and even if he transfers it to another pot. Okay. And therefore, it's allowed to return such food to a range if it was heated with straw or stubble, its coals were removed or covered, provided the food was fully cooked and had not completely cooled off. On this basis, people at large follow an even greater leniency and claim that our sage's statement that it's forbidden to return food to the inner space of a range applies only when one removed the food from there while it was still day and it remained in his hand until after nightfall. In other words, according to this perspective, if one removed the food from the inner space of a range after nightfall, it's allowed to be returned there. Now, Alter Rebbe does advise that we should be strict and not follow this leniency. Okay. Here he goes. Nevertheless, every person should personally adopt the stringency of not returning food to the inner space of a range or an oven, even if he removed it from there after nightfall, even though he had the intent of returning it and it's still in his hand. Why? For with regard to returning food to the inner space of such cooking devices, there's not sufficient reason to distinguish between removing it before or after nightfall on Friday. Moreover, even with regard to returning food on top of a range, if one removed it without intending to return it, he released it from his hand or he transferred it to another pot, it's desirable to act stringently, because there are many authorities who maintain that even in this case, there's no difference between moving the food while it's still day on Friday or after nightfall. Now, there are some who are accustomed to taking even further leniencies. For example, on Shabbos day, they permit one to return food, for example, chalent,
to an oven that had been used for baking while it was still day on Friday, even though its coals were not removed, provided that after being used for baking on Friday, the oven was not reheated with the intent of keeping the challant warm for the morning meal, but instead the challant was kept warm in another oven. The rationale for this leniency is the following, that the coals that remain from being warmed for baking this food have certainly already burned out. It's as if they have already been removed, as we learned in Halacha Aleph. Nevertheless, if the oven is still not is still hot enough that a hand would recoil from its touch, it's forbidden to return the food to. Okay. V'yesh mekilinoi. Others extend these leniencies a step further and maintain that even if the challant was left to warm in the original oven still after the morning meal, it can safely be assumed that all the coals have surely burned out and it's permitted to return food there according to this custom, provided the oven is not so hot that a hand would recoil from touching it. Halacha chaf, the Alter Rebbe now qualifies the previous one. All the above applies to returning food to the upper service or the inner space of a range or oven. It is, however, permitted to place food next to it, but outside of a range on Shabbat. Similarly, one may place food next to the ovens of our time, even if the cooked food itself is actually touching the outer wall of the oven at its side. This applies even if the oven was heated with olive wastes or wood and its coals were neither removed nor covered, for there's no concern about one stirring the coals when the food is positioned outside the oven next to it, as explained above. Why? Because we learned in Halacha Gimel that when food is outside the oven or range, stirring the coals will hardly be effective in heating the food. Okay, even if one already removed the food from the oven while it was still day on Friday and placed it on the ground without having the intent to return it to its inner space or even to place it next to it, it's permitted to place it close to the oven. This leniency applies even if this is a food that was cooked a while ago and has become entirely cold. Now, in the main text, Alter Rebbe had accepted the position that is followed by most Rishonim, that the laws governing placing food next to a fire are more lenient than those governing returning food to a cooking utensil, and none of the conditions required to return food are necessary with regard to placing it next to it. In his Kuntres Achanin, Alter Rebbe brings support for that ruling from both Talmudic and Rabbinic sources. 20th Halacha. Halacha Chaf is discussing the permissibility of putting food next to an oven, that although, as we learned, there are many conditions, even when it is allowed, to putting food into an oven or on top of a range or stovetop, but one may put the food next to, but outside of a range on Shabbos. Yesterday we said that even if somebody already took the food out of the oven while it was still day on Friday and put it on the ground without having the kavana, without intending to return it to the inner space, or even to return it next to it, one is allowed to put it next to the oven. This leniency applies even if the food, this food was cooked a while ago and has become entirely cold. As long as the prohibition against cooking does not apply to it, so for example, it is dry, then it is permitted to place it close to the oven, because by doing so, one does not appear to be initially cooking on Shabbos. Since placing food outside an oven or a range is not the way one ordinarily cooks, the laws are the same as placing food next to a fire, as will be explained in section 318. So just a note, when we said it has to be dry, that means it's completely dry. If it has some liquid, so then the liquid must be somewhat warm. Otherwise, placing it near a fire where it can become hot to the extent that Yatzei led this by a hand would recoil from its touch is forbidden, because one is actually cooking the food. Okay, and we're talking about, we said that the laws are the same as placing food next to a fire. That is talking about a fire that is used to warm a home. Continuing the halacha, v'yesh oisrim lismech etzel kiri. Now the Alter Rebbe brings a different opinion. There are authorities who forbid placing food next to a range or an oven of our time if it was heated with olive wastes or wood and the coals were not removed or covered, even if the person's intent when he removed it was to return it to the range or oven or place it next to it, and he held it in his hand the entire time. What is the reason for this stricter view? Mishum gzeira, shemayachta. This is a decree, lest he stir the coals. Now, it's true that the sages were not concerned with the possibility
of one stirring coals with regard to placing food near a range or an oven while it is still day on Friday. Nevertheless, they were more stringent with regard to placing food near these cooking utensils on Shabbos itself. And now, in conclusion, Alter Rebbe says, "Viha minog kisvara harishayna." The custom is to follow the first opinion. Umikol makim b'makim she'en sham tzedech kolkach toiv lachush l'divrei. Nevertheless, in a situation where there is not a significant need, it is desirable to give weight to the latter view, in other words, and not to place food next to an oven or a range. Okay. Halacha Chaf Aleph 21. B'chol zekishem machzir b'shabes l'makim shayad tzeled esham. Dainu. Shim tafshol zeshem machzir ha'yitzayin in ha'yachol eschamim sham kolkach ad shayad tzeled esham. אבל אם אין היה צילד שם, לדברי הכל מוטל לסמך שם, אפילו בטענר שבימיהם, אף פי שאין גורף וקוטם. All of the above applies when one returns food on Shabbos to a place hot enough to cause a hand to recoil. In other words, that if the food that the person was placing there was cold, it would heat up until it reached a temperature that would cause a hand to recoil from its touch. If, however, the temperature is not so hot that a hand would recoil from its touch, it is permitted to place food there even next to an oven of the Talmudic era, even though the coals were not removed or covered. Moreover, it is even permitted to return food to the top of a range from which the coals were removed or covered if the place was not so hot that a hand would recoil from its touch, even though A, he removed the food from the range while it was still day on Friday and put it on the ground. B, he did so without having the intent to return it to the range at all. And even if C, already transferred the food to another pot. And moreover, D, it's a food that was cooked a while ago and has become entirely cold. And E, even if it contains liquid. As for the reason for this leniency, that is because when the temperature is not so hot that a hand would recoil from its touch, it does not seem like one is initially cooking the food there. And it is for this reason that there are authorities who grant permission to place food on a hot plate with one setting or a range covered with a sheet of metal on Shabbos as long as the food will not reach a temperature that will cause a hand to recoil Yatzi Ledesbe. According to Alter Rebbe's understanding explained in the previous footnote, the hot plate or blech itself must not reach that temperature. This